It sees something way off into the distance and brings it close. The telescopic view for Jacob was this. He was looking way into the future, telescoping way into the future and saying, you know, life's not worth living now. My son is dead. I have nothing to live for. And it is a view not to have. The view that Jacob had is a view that you should not have, that the future is dim. When you're facing adversity right now, you're overwhelmed and you say, I have nothing to live for. I think of Job, who just wanted to die, who said in Job 6, 8, and 9, oh, that I might have my request and that God would grant me the thing that I long for, even that it would please God to destroy me, that he would let loose his hand and cut me off. And yet in the big picture, what he endured encourages us today. It is hard at the time to suffer the adversity. 4 or 5 years ago, Juanita and I were traveling in Alabama, and I said, I want to go to Enterprise. I want to go to Enterprise, Alabama. We were down in Florida. We were going to head up to Huntsville. And I said, let's stop an Enterprise. Well, what's an Enterprise? There's a monument I want to see. So we went to Enterprise. And right there in the middle of town, right there in the middle of a major intersection, right in the middle of it, you have to drive around it, is a gated monument. And it's some kind of a being. It looks almost looks like an angel. And this being is holding up, way up atop her, this giant insect, the boll weevil. And you go around and you look at the signs about this thing exalting the boll weevil. You know what the boll weevil is? It's an insect that eats up cotton. You see, the boll weevil crossed from Mexico into the United States and destroyed cotton plants. And as all these cotton plants were destroyed, the people of Enterprise, Alabama erected this monument to this insect with this inscription: in profound appreciation of the boll weevil and what it has done to herald prosperity. Farms were destroyed. It was a horrible time in the South. It was a horrible time in Alabama. What are we going to do? Cotton is king, and now it's being destroyed. And here's why they erected this monument: because it forced them to go to an alternate plan, and they began to raise peanuts and a variety of crops, such as soybeans and so forth. They used their land to also raise cattle and hogs and chicken. And as a result, many farmers became even more prosperous than in the days when they had cotton. So they erased this monument to the boll weevil, this creature of adversity that actually gave them prosperity. But that was years later when they could look back and see the big picture. At the time when they're going through it, horribly difficult. Jacob, having lost Joseph, found out that the brothers had gone down. He sent the brothers down to Egypt, the half-brothers, and they came back and said, the king down there, the ruler, said that you've got to send Benjamin along. Oh, no, no. Oh, no. No. You cannot take him. I've lost one son from Rachel. I'm not going to lose the other one. You cannot take him. So they didn't say anything more. But then the time came close where they had to go because they were running out of food. And Jacob said, go down to Egypt. We need to get more food. They said, Dad, remember what he said. We can't do it unless you send Benjamin. He said, my son shall not go down with you, for his brother is dead and he is left alone. If mischief befall him by the way in which ye go, then shall you bring my gray hairs with sorrow to the grave. But finally he said, take also your brother. If I am bereaved of my children, I am bereaved. Why? Because he had the perspective, Joseph was slain. Joseph was slain. Joseph was slain. A telescopic view. And this is all because he thought Joseph had been slain. Paralyzed him. Have you ever noticed Christians, perhaps parents of a child, who are paralyzed because of something that took place in the past? And you go, you can't blame them, and I know. But we are tempted to restrict ourselves or perhaps a loved one to risk their lives to go to the mission field because of something that happened. Some past calamity. That was Jacob. He had the perspective, Joseph has been slain. So Joseph's father was incapable of seeing the big picture that God meant it unto good. Later on he would, but at the time he didn't. But I want us to go to the brothers' perspective, the patriarchs, as Stephen calls them in Acts chapter 7. And the brothers had the perspective that I call the microscopic view, the microscopic view. And this is, again, a view that we should not have. Their view was that Joseph was sold. When they threw him into that well, and then when they sold him to that Midianite band that was going through and they sold him into slavery, no doubt they thought this won't hurt anything. No doubt they thought we have finally gotten rid of him. No doubt they thought finally the dreams will end. And in their eyes, by selling Joseph, he was doomed to oblivion. They were focusing on a small part, which would later be the big picture. When I was a kid, I had a microscope. Since this is the microscopic view, let me give you an illustration with a microscope. I had something they called it big eyes. I think I was like 9 or 10 years old. My parents got me a microscope because I love science. And I remember putting that thing together at Christmas time, and later on that summer when the ants and the fleas were out, I would go outside and I'd catch the dog and I would try to find a flea on his back, and that was pretty easy to do. And I would take that flea, and without killing it, and I would take it to my microscope. It was called Big Eyes. And I would put it on the slide, put another slide on top so that little flea couldn't jump off. And I would slide him under, and I would look in there. And I still remember seeing the heart beating. Did you know that a flea is translucent? You can see into it. I could see the heart beating. I could see the blood flowing. I thought, this is amazing. And while I'm doing that, I'm totally oblivious to everything around me. My focus is the microscopic view. I'm looking at this one thing. And that's the one thing that the brothers did all their life. You know what they kept focusing on? We sold our brother. We sold our brother. At first, it didn't really affect him, but when he went down into Egypt, and Joseph, knowing them, when they would come before him, and he would do things, he would play with them a little bit, and they would say, it's all because we sold Joseph. It's because of what we did to Joseph. And here in chapter 45 of Genesis, when Joseph reveals himself to his brothers, he speaks to them. He has to speak to them from their perspective. He reveals himself in verse 1 of chapter 45. Joseph could not restrain himself, and he reveals himself in verses 2 and 3. Verse 3, he says, I am Joseph, doth my father yet live? And verse 4, Joseph said unto his brethren, come near to me, I pray you. And they came near, and he said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom ye sold into Egypt. They can't believe it. But notice verse 5, now therefore be not grieved, nor angry with yourselves that ye sold me hither. You see, that's their perspective. You sold me. And then he gives the right perspective. You sold me, but God sent me before you to preserve life. And again in verse 6 and 7, for these 2 years hath the famine been in the land, and there are yet 5 years in the land, there shall be neither earing nor harvest. Then again in verse 7, and God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. Again in verse 8, so now it was not you that sent me hither, but God. What they had done was sold him, but Joseph sees that God had actually sent him. God had used what they had done with evil intent. And because of that, they missed the blessing of the big picture. God used their anger to accomplish his plan. We read in Psalm 76:10, "Surely the wrath of man shall praise thee." You know, there are some believers who look at their past sinners, at their past sin, and they wonder, was that God's will for me? Is sin ever a part of God's will for you? And yet we're sinners. So God may still use what you did, even as God used what Joseph's brothers did to Joseph. God may still use it, but you miss the blessing. The blessing goes to someone else like Joseph, who is doing the will of God. You do your own thing, God will simply replace you. But I find it interesting that later on, when Jacob passes away, this is at the end of the book of Genesis, go to chapter 50. When Jacob is gone, dad is gone, that these brothers are scared. Now what's Joseph going to do to us? We did this to him. He's going to get his revenge now. But his brothers never did presume to think lightly of their sin, as if, God used it to fulfill the big picture. So, hey, they never presumed to think that. Look at chapter 50, verses 15 to 18. "And when Joseph's brethren saw that their father was dead, they said, 'Joseph will peradventure hate us and will certainly requite us all the evil which we did unto him.' And they sent a messenger unto Joseph, saying, 'Thy father did command before he died, saying, So shall ye say unto Joseph, Forgive, I pray thee now, the trespass of thy brethren and their sin. For they did unto thee evil. And now we pray thee, forgive the trespass of the servants of the God of thy father.' And Joseph wept when they spake unto him." Here's the whole point I'm trying to make, is all their lives, even after they are in Egypt, the only thing they could think of is, "We sold Joseph, we sold him, we sold him." That guilt was ever with them. And they could never get past that until Joseph says what he does in verse 20. "You thought evil against me, but God meant it for good." Some years ago, I was reading a book called Free Indeed by Mark Sidwell. And as I read this story, I thought, you know, our black population today thinks about slavery and said nothing good ever came from slavery. But I want to read you from the life of a man by the name of John Chavis, a freeborn American black man and a revolutionary soldier. He was born around 1763. He was a missionary. He was an evangelist, and he would preach to the whites and the blacks. People would come to hear him. He was in the areas of, I think it was East Tennessee, North Carolina, Virginia. And he had a surprising view of slavery, a blight in American history. And yet, listen to his view of slavery. In 1805, during his preaching tours, Chavis met a black woman who expressed her gratitude that God had brought her from her native country to this land of gospel light and liberty, and said that, quote, "All the blacks ought to be thankful that they were in a country where they could hear the name of the blessed Jesus and know how to escape the bondage of the devil," end quote. Chavis agreed, quote, "I joined with this my sister in saying that it is truly a matter of thankfulness to the black people that they were brought to this country, for I believe thousands of them will have reason to rejoice for it in the ages of eternity." There's even a historical marker there in North Carolina that was put there in 1938 on the 100th anniversary of Chavis's death in gratitude to that man. He had a perspective that a lot of people should have. This is not to excuse slavery, but instead of people staying bitter all their lives over something that we have not done to them, If they would have this kind of perspective and just realize, praise God that we live in a country like this. Look at the big picture and quit focusing all the time on these little deeds that somebody did to you or something that happened to you. Look at the big picture and praise God for how he uses even men's wrong in somebody's life. Joseph's brothers were incapable of seeing the big picture. God meant it unto good. And that brings us to Joseph's perspective. His father saw him as slain. His brother saw him as sold. Joseph saw himself as sent. God sent me. And I call this the macroscopic view. Macroscopic is something that is large enough to be seen by the unaided eye. Joseph was able to see how all things worked together beautifully. And this is the view, folks, from the one who walks closely with the Lord. This is God's perspective. And it's a perspective that all of us need to see things from God's perspective. We may not know the details, and it takes faith for us to do it, but it's the macroscopic view. Many times, Joseph refers to himself as sent. We saw that in chapter 45, verses 5, 7, and 8. His father saw him as slain. Joseph saw himself as sent. His half-brother saw him as sold. Joseph saw himself as sent. God is with those he sends. Has God sent you? Has God sent you to do anything? The battle is won, folks, when we see ourselves as God sees us. That four-letter word, sent. Not that four-letter word, sold. Or the other word, slain. Sent. And if we don't see ourselves as sent, we see ourselves as alone in the battle. Why was Moses so effective for God? Well, think about this. And God said unto Moses, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath what me unto you? I am hath sent me unto you. Moses saw himself as sent of God. That's why he was so effective. Why were the prophets like Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Isaiah so effective? Because as it says in Jeremiah 7:25, God says, I have even sent unto you all my servants, the prophets. Why was John the Baptist so effective? He's described this way in John 1:6. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. Why were the apostles so effective? Mark 3:14, and he, Jesus, ordained 12 that they should be with him and that he might send them forth to preach. The word apostle means sent one. You, all believers, are sent. And we should have the same attitude that Joseph had. Everybody thinks evil against me and their evil scheming gets me down, these tragedies and so forth, but you know what? God has sent me. We should sincerely pray, Matthew 9:38, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. And have the Isaiah 6:8 attitude. I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for me? Then said I, here am I, send me. Jesus said this to his disciples, this includes us. In John 20:21, as my Father hath sent me, even so, what? Send I you. We are sent. When we understand that God has sent us, he has left us here, he has sent us to do something. Three times the Lord, it says in Genesis 37, the Lord was with Joseph. 1,700 years later, in Stephen's sermon, the patriarch sold Joseph into Egypt, but God was with him, Stephen recognized. We have the same promise. After we are commanded, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost. And he ends it this way, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. God is with those he sends. So why does Joseph not try to get revenge? Humanly speaking, he had the right. And sometimes when you're reading his story and those brothers are before him, you can almost see what he's doing. But note this in chapter 50 and verse 19. And Joseph said unto them, "Fear not." Would you read the last part of that verse with me? "For am I in the place of God?" Am I in the place of God? That's when he says, verse 20, "But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass as it is this day to save much people alive." He realized that God is sovereign and had the big picture, the macroscopic view. The big picture that Joseph saw went way beyond just his life. It had to do with all of God's people. His trials were a major role, played a major role in helping to bring past the prophecy given to his great-grandfather Abraham. You see, God had told Abraham in Genesis 15, 13, "Know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. And before you were ever, if you read your Bible for the first time, perhaps you don't see this unless you're an adult reading it. I saw it as a kid. You read this whole story. How are the people going to get down into Egypt? Well, we all know God used what happened to Joseph to get all of his people into Egypt. And then Joseph gives these instructions concerning his bones in chapter 50, verses 24 to 25. So that in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 22, we have this in the faith chapter. By faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. Joseph is in the faith chapter of the Bible. Why? Because he was a man who lived by faith. And by faith, he saw the big picture. That doesn't mean he knew the details. He was just a man who walked by faith and would say, "I believe," in his own mind, "I don't know what's happening here, but I believe God's going to do it for the good." And then in Joshua chapter 24, verse 32, "And the bones of Joseph, which the children of Israel brought up out of Egypt, buried they in Shechem." Joseph saw the big picture. He had the macroscopic view. He knew he was on a mission. At least he sensed it, that he was sent. So that when he got to the end of his life, actually it wasn't the end of his life, it was the end of his father's life. He would live some time after this. He could tell his brothers, "You know what? You schemed evil against me. But I can see it. God meant it for good." Folks, imagine your life as a tapestry. And think of the tapestry of last year. Think of the last decade, the last few decades. About how old you are. Think back about how you came to Christ. And the difficulties, the trials that we all face. And yet today you can look back and see how God meant it for good. Perhaps we could look at the history of our church and the difficulties. Oh, some of you who've been with us for a while, some of the things, the trials we have faced, and yet you can see today how God meant it for good. Oh, a family just left. Hey, let's look at it by faith. What can God do with us? Dr. Bob Jones Jr., who furnished the art gallery, I read a quote of his where he said this: "The man who trusts God completely and who accepts with unquestioning obedience the will and commands of God will always find that those things which happen to him today, though they may seem today unfortunate, will tomorrow be golden links in a chain of blessing." Folks, God wants us to see the big picture. Not the telescopic view where we peer into the future about things we don't know and all we do is worry. All we do is worry. That's the telescopic view. That's what it brings you, worry. Not the microscopic view where we're paralyzed with the adversity or the trial that we have right at that time. But the big picture view with Joseph, where we see the big picture, that though you may be the target of an evil scheme by somebody else, or there just may be something you're going through right now that is very difficult, that you, by faith, and those are the key words, by faith you realize, somehow, all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Somehow, God means even this unto good. And your surrender to him